Job chapter 10. We're going to move along tonight and look through these verses 8 through 13. And Job has some very wonderful things to say here that we need to pay attention to. And I do hope that you're... I guess I feel like I have to labor a little bit about this book of Job, because it feels like a lot of times pastors kind of rush through the book of Job. And they miss a lot of the biblical principles, the philosophies, the ideology that we need to take hold of. If God saw fit to put all these chapters of the book of Job, 42 chapters, in here, we should pay attention to all 42 chapters. We shouldn't gloss over them. And a lot of people just kind of give a quick synopsis. They just say, well, it's just a bunch of back and forth about Job and his friends, and they're arguing about this and arguing about that. And that's kind of what they do. They just say, well, that's all it's about. You know, from chapter 3 to chapter 40, you know, we'll cover the first two chapters and the last two chapters. Those are the important chapters. No, I'm sorry. They're all important. There's many important things to be learned from this book of Job. So with that said, if you please stand out of love and respect for the word of God, Job chapter 10, I'm going to begin in verse 8, and I'll read down through verse 13. You can follow along in your Bibles. In verse 8, Job says, "Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay. And wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk, and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me in with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee." Now you need to realize that Job is making some reference to some things here. Previously, last week, we talked about how Job was finally kind of coming to. He was kind of waking up from his grief, from his distress, his shock, if you will, of what had just happened and what he was going through. And he is kind of asking some good questions. He is looking to God for some answers because his friends aren't being able to give him any answers. And he's not finding any answers out from searching his own soul or his own self. And so he's asking God to give him some answers. So he now in verse 8, he is beginning to make some statements to God. So he's kind of... In a good way, he's challenging God. He's asking God, "Hey, God, these are the questions I have. These are the complaints that I have. These are the things that I'm going through. And God, I'm going to put you into remembrance about me, your creation." And so look at verse 8. He says, "Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about." Now, this is very specific. You understand that Job realizes that God has made his entire being. So he's not just talking about his physical makeup, you know, his fingers and his hands and his legs and his internal organs and those types. His wife, his children, his family, his testimony. He says, "God, you have... fashioned me, you've made me, but you've fashioned me together round about. You've filled out my life to be what it is." So he's giving God credit. He's reminding God, if you will, "God, you're the one that formed me." Or in a way, you could say this: he's acknowledging that God formed him, that God is the reason why he is who he is. That God is the one who has orchestrated his life and, you know, put the wealth there and put the children there and put the wife there and the testimony and even these friends that have come to be with him, and he's giving God credit for all that. And then he makes the statement, "God, you put me all together, and yet you're the one
that's destroying me. Okay, so he's in question mode. He's in ponder mode or wonder mode, you know, wondering what's going on here. He says, God, I know my being, and I know you. You're my Redeemer. You're my Savior. You're my God. I realize I'm not a self-made man. You put me together. You put me in these circumstances. You've done all of this with me, yet you're destroying me. Do you see how that's worded there in that verse? And he's asking God. He says, God, you formed me. You've made me roundabout, but yet you're destroying me. What? In so understand, it's kind of a question. Why? Look at verse 9. Now he says to God, he made a statement at verse 8. Now he actually says, remember, I beseech thee. So now he says, God, please remember, you've been silent. You've not told me what's going on. You've not communicated with me why these things are in my life. He says, remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay. So, you all, anybody worked with clay before? As Texans, if you stick a shovel in the ground, you're working with clay. All right? Or you're working against clay, or clay's working against you. Because I have actually put a shovel in the ground, and the ground did not want to give it back. You know, the clay, it just kind of... And you're like... Anybody been there? I mean, it won't let go. It's like these little tentacles that just grabs onto your shovel and just won't let go. But no, I mean, you worked with clay, and while the clay is wet, right, it's moldable, shapeable, etc. But when that stuff gets hard, it's hard. And you got to basically take a hammer and break it. You've got to really be forceful when it is hardened. So basically, and remember, we'll go back and look at this in Jeremiah 18. But remember that he's the potter and we are the clay. So when you work with clay, there's a time where it's moldable and shapeable, and it's able to be formed into something. A lot of time plates or cups or bowls or vessels and things like that. But once it's hardened, it's not moldable and shapeable anymore. And so what you have to do is you have to turn it back into dust to be able to do anything with it again. So you please understand that as we talk about these things, Job is saying, look what he says, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? He's like, God, you formed me. You shaped me into a vessel, a usable vessel for you, and now I'm broken down. I'm chipped and cracked and broken. And God, are you going to grind me up into to dust again? He asks these questions. Look at verse 10. I love this one. Hast not thou poured me out as milk? Now, please understand what he's talking about here. Job's talking about when you get milk, right? You can drink it, right? That's good. Or you can use it as a tool, if you will, to make other foods, right? I mean, how many of you enjoy cheese, right? Sour cream, that's, you know, cream for your coffee, all kinds of great stuff comes from milk. I think I may have told you this story. I don't know, but my dad worked as a mechanic for a milk trucking company, and then my grandfather, my mom's dad, drove for them. And in the summertime, we got to go to the farms with my grandpa, and they would have these big tanks, you know, where they had milked all the cows, and the farmers would let us just take a coffee cup and just scoop the milk right out of the tank. Outstanding. Okay, you won't find better milk than that. All right, it's wonderful. Well, every once in a while, Grandpa would get a long haul, and he'd have to go to Fergus Falls, Minnesota, to the milk plant. And when we got to the milk plant, they made something called, you know what cheese curds, right? You know what cheese curds are? Okay, Well, we didn't call that. Well, Mr. Wisconsin over here, he knows what a cheese curd is. That's like, you know, everyday food for you guys up there. But we didn't call it cheese curds. We called it squeaky cheese. Because when you eat a cheese curd, a raw cheese curd, it squeaks. You know, when you chew on it. And so we would get squeaky cheese. We would call it squeaky cheese. And we would have cheese curds. But you understand that that's a process of using the milk. Okay? So Job says, look, you've poured me out and you have curdled me like cheese. So he says, God, you've already done this. You've already put me through the process of working with me as a tool or as a device for you. He said, I want you to remember that you've already done this in my life. So why the tribulation? Why the trials? Why the trouble? If I'm already a vessel, you've already worked with me in the clay. You've already formed me roundabout. And now it feels like, God, you're breaking me down. Or God, you're grinding me back into dust. Or God, you've poured me out like the milk. I'm already curdled. I'm already becoming what I need to be with the, you know, how the whey and all that. How many of you like cottage cheese? Okay, I like cottage cheese. I like the nice fresh cracked pepper on my cottage cheese. Now I want some cottage cheese. Okay, now I'll have to go to the store and buy cottage cheese. I won't be able to go to bed until I have cottage cheese. I might settle for just regular cheese, but we'll see. But he says, you've already worked with me. Did you forget, God? Did you not remember that I'm not like a new Christian or someone who's just being formed? God, you've already raised me up. And yet it feels like you're breaking me down. Look at verse 11. He says, Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. So he already has a structure. He already has a frame. He already has a covering. He is not a new creation. That's what he's voicing. And then in verse 12, he says, Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. He says, and these things hast thou hid in thine heart, and I know that this is with thee. Okay, so now we're building up to something else. I'll bring that up next week as we talk through verses 14 through 22. But what Job is doing is he's coming to his senses. He says, I'm not going to let go of my complaint. I'm going to speak in the bitterness of my soul. And God, I'm going to ask these hard questions because you haven't given me any answers. And God, furthermore, I'm going to remind you of what you've already done in my life and how you've already progressed me into these states. By the way, once you curdle cheese, it can't become milk again. All right? Once you harden that clay pot, it can't become moldable clay again. All right? So he's saying, God, you've already done these things. You've already fashioned me. Yet you're going to destroy me. Because listen, how many of you have ever been to a pottery shop before, right? When a thing doesn't work out or comes out of the kiln cracked or whatever, guess what they do? They just break it. It's not worth anything anymore. And so this is what Job is voicing. So just a few scriptures and we'll be done tonight. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to listen about what God views us as his workmanship. Now, you know what this passage of scripture, you know where I'm going here, but I want you to understand these are Job's questions and Job's quandaries because at this point in time, he does not know what God is doing. But folks, let me tell you something. We may not know exactly what God is doing when he sends something into our lives. But you've got to realize we have these examples to know that whatever he's doing is something good for us. Job didn't have the scriptures, right? He didn't have Romans 8:28. We do. So we have to understand, he didn't have all these examples, he didn't have all these experiences, but we have them. And so in Ephesians 2, he says this, "And you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened," remember that's vivified, made alive again, "us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So here's the key though. "For we are his workmanship, says created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Okay, so no matter what comes into your life, and let me just say it to you this way, even if it is righteous judgment of sin, you are still the workmanship of Christ, and he still wants to use you. Now, if it's not a judgment of sin, the difficulties that come in your life, and it is a fiery trial, which is to try you, God's not trying to destroy you. He's not trying to cast you aside. He's not trying to turn you into dust, powder. He's not going to throw you out because he wants to use you and make you a better vessel than the vessel that you are. Or perhaps make you a stronger vessel than the vessel you are. You understand that when we use exercise to tear down the muscles, that we're not destroying our muscles, even though it hurts. How many of you have, after a, you were talking about this, right? You were saying something about leg day. You know, "Oh, it was leg day. Oh, you know, you're walking around like this." Dramatic teenagers, you know. You have sore, you have that lactic acid building up, you know, in your muscles there. And yeah, but you know what? Those muscle fibers, when they repair themselves, they get bigger. And that's the whole idea. And you know what? So maybe God's trying to make us a stronger vessel. I don't know what God was exactly trying to do in Job's life, but I promise you is for something good for Job, or the people that Job was associated with, or the people that Job knew. God was using this for God's glory, but for Job's benefit. And Job did not understand that. But we have to realize that we should know and understand that we're his workmanship, and God has before ordained that this is how it should be in our lives. Okay? Now, very quickly, just a few more things to talk about. I don't have time for that. Let me go to this one. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I told you, as you're turning there, Jeremiah was talking about the house of the potter, and the clay was marred, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter, right? Then he also said, "Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand." And you understand that the clay is not supposed to say, "Hey, you can't make me into a cup," right? I don't want to be a cup. I want to be a bowl. We're not in control. The potter is in control. God's in control. And we don't have to remind God of what he's done in our lives. He already knows. Now, Job, because God was silent, he's like, "God, do you remember what you've done here? Because I'm struggling. My complaint is with me, and I need some help." So let's look at what David has to write here in Psalm 139. Look at verse 1. He says, "Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So I don't have time to read all through this, but you understand that later on in this passage, David talks about how God created him. He knew him in his mother's belly, and he's fearfully and wonderfully made, and God knows all about him. And that's what we need to take from Job's experience here, is that we as a Christian should remember that we don't have to remind God of everything, of anything. That God knows, and God knows the very circumstances that we're going through. By the way, we have an even better promise, if you will, that Jesus Christ has already gone through all the things that we could actually go through. And he's suffered those infirmities and those difficulties. And he knows even how we feel. Because God has had that human experience with being God and man at the same time. Jesus Christ actually understands, if you will. And by the way, not that God doesn't, but we understand that he understands, because he's gone through it in a physical sense. God is the one that has made us and fashioned us. He's given us understanding. He's given us knowledge. He's molded us and shaped us into what he wants us to be. And so we've got to retain these things in our hearts. Look at verse 13. He says, "And these things hast thou hid in thine heart." And Job says, "I know that this is with thee." So now he's coming around and he's giving acknowledgement to the fact that he knows, that God knows, and that I don't really have to remind you of these things. So folks, we need to live in confidence, arrogance, that's the word I wanted. Not in arrogance, but in confidence that yes, these things that we're going through are grievous, they're difficult, they're sorrowful, and God knows that. But he's there to comfort us. He has a purpose for it. He's the one that's in control of and orchestrating all of these things. And even though Job doesn't know that God allowed Satan to do these things to him, nor does he know the actual purpose for it, but he's trying, I think what Job's trying to do is he's trying to remind himself that God knows these things. You ever been there? Where you feel like God has abandoned you and you try to give yourself a pep talk that God really hasn't abandoned you because that's not what God would do. And so think of this way, that as Job is waking up from his sorrow and his grief and the shock of it, of all that's happened, he's really trying to encourage himself, as David encouraged himself in the Lord, about who and what his God is. And so how many of you have ever done this? You've had to talk yourself through these things. And Job is, verse by verse, he's talking himself through these things of what God has done, what God means to him, and who God is, that he is the potter, he is the one that has orchestrated all these things, and God still knows who Job is, what Job is, all of these things. He says, "God, I know that this is with thee."